On this episode of Thinking Inside the Box, we totally shred some gnarly waves, brah, in Trans World Surf. Click. Hey.
Perfection.
Yeah, perfecto.
All right, let's roll right into it.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Excalibur.
And I'm your co-host, Soft Mike.
All right. So let's give some context as to why we've been gone for so long.
Oh, yeah. We do need to catch up on what we've been up to.
Yeah, because the last episode that we recently released actually was recorded back in November. So it was kind of like a lie.
Yeah, and unfortunately for us, we sort of nosedived into the holidays and sort of took time away to prioritize.
Yeah, pretty much just summarized life kind of gets in the way sometimes. I went on vacation, went back to California for 20 days, so I was gone for quite a while there. A lot of planning and energy went into my most recent ambitious project, which some of you that follow us on social media might know about, the box/bundle spotlight that I've been working very hard and very tirelessly on, continuing to document and provide content for, working with a lot of collectors throughout the entire world, trying to build a catalog and document the boxes in a way that no one's ever been able to do so far yet, making a lot of headroom on that. So that's kind of taken up a lot of my creative time. And then what's been going on with you, Soft Mike?
So Soft Mike life has been full of family time and working. So working a full-time job, it's kind of been rough here and there. You know, as anyone has, you know, a full-time job would understand. So outside of that, you know, I have my own family and I have a boy who he's pretty much taken up most of my time.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, we're glad to finally be back to try and amp up and make this a very enjoyable, streamlined podcast episode from here on out. So,
yeah, trying to post more regularly or at least get our recording schedule back on track.
Yeah, that's probably this is ambitious as it is going into it right off the bat.
Yeah.
We've been just talking about getting in finally back into the studio and trying to sort out what we need to get done so we can get this episode out for our audience. So,
and you know, you and I both agree it's been kind of a funk getting through these launch titles as they're really not as good as what's in store for all of us in the library to come. Getting through this has also been a little bit of a hard thing to motivate ourselves to do. As you all might know, you know, it kind of seems like a chore at times when it comes to games that are not very fun to play and really just aren't the kind of games that we would typically enjoy indulging in. So, you know, we have failed on that front a little bit to provide content and focused our attention in other places, which has unfortunately caused us to not continue the podcast up until this point.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that we have, you know, that perfect moment for each and every one of the things we can do outside, you know, what we have going on, because we have we have a lot of things lined up, not just, you know, with the podcast or, you know, work life. We have like three hobbies we all kind of do at the same time. So
Both of us are heavily involved in car audio, and that takes quite a bit of time. I mean, I'm building an entire car from the ground up, and that takes time. It takes a lot of energy. I've also been swamped with other side projects, some work for friends and coworkers, working on cars. And then aside from everything else, kind of taking a break and working on focusing to grow what we have right now.
And I know how much really this means to Excalibur, this idea that we can become somebody or something great.
Yeah.
Not just for people who enjoy Xbox. You know, I feel like any gamer, even some of these games, doesn't necessarily mean that they're only Xbox games or anything like that.
Yeah, a lot of these games are multi-platform.
And you'd get a pretty good idea especially when we talk about the gameplay,
mm-hmm.
what you would expect. Because at this time, they weren't really combating each other in the sales or anything like that. It was, I mean, most people had PlayStation 2s.
Right.
And GameCube, it seemed like, to me, I always felt like the most obscure people had GameCubes. You know, you were kind of like an OG gamer if you had the original Xbox. And it kind of just speaks for itself because it was something that kind of, in a way, blended the experience of having a PC for a console. That's why I think that this is such a universal message to the communities that build us up as gamers. So, you know, even though this is an Xbox podcast, feel free, you know, anybody that you know that's a gamer, let them listen. We have a lot of things planned, and I want to make ourselves proud. I want to make our community proud.
Our community is absolutely incredible, and both of us really appreciate the support that we've gotten over the past couple of months with what we've been trying to do and my project of documenting the boxes. We've got a lot of people that are constants and either, you know, are commenting, liking consistently everywhere that I post and that are just showing support and coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, and we appreciate every ounce of support we get. Likes, follows through all of our social media platforms, the listening, seeing our data on who's listening, who's streaming.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see our growth. With our most successful episode to date being our Grab by the Ghoulies episode. Shout out to our production between me and, God dang it. I'm like blanking.
Excalibur.
I blanked. Hardcore. Totally. So yeah, just shout out to our production. As you heard, we have our segments and we took a lot of pride building those segments, especially from the idea of it from the beginning was to sort of create a stable platform to which we could continuously know where we are and set up a chapter checkpoint. And we really liked our Grab by the Ghoulies special edition because that we really made that in a very short amount of time.
I think, like a week and a half, maybe?
Yeah, it was about a week and a half. And I said we recorded it in about 2 days.
Yeah, that was like blunt force, pretty much, just spearheaded, get it done. We were just like so concise and on point with what we wanted to do. Our focus was so strong. That's what really helped.
Yeah, so I'd say expect more like that. I mean, we would really love to see... As crazy as it sounds, you know, for like our future episode, I don't know if you want to say it or not for our finale being for this first season.
Sure, go ahead.
Halo Combat Evolved. So be on the lookout for that. That episode is not far away. We're really looking forward to trying to up the ante, doing some cool things. It'd be cool to have like Jeff Stitzer be a voice for one of our segments or...
Steve Downs, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really awesome. Although, obviously, you know, that's not something that we really have a budget. We're obviously not in the realm of being able to just, you know, have a budget quite yet. But with your continued support and your dedication to us as a fan and audience, that's what we want. And that's all that matters really to us.
Oh, yeah. The creativity is limitless. And we've proven and shown that, you know, we have the dedication to basically bring any idea that comes to our heads that we can push and make entertaining possible.
I agree, man.
All right. Well, today's game will be Trans World Surf.
Ooh, tell us about it.
I'd rather not.
We can probably tell it's about surfing.
I would say it's like a Tony Hawk-esque surfing game.
It might be a complete copy.
It is kind of a ripoff. I really don't know why they would choose surfing. It must have been kind of popular around that time. I never really followed surfing, but here we are. We're reviewing this game, and
that's that's a very blanked way to put it. We'll just tell you about what we know.
Let's go ahead and go through our general information, then we'll go through the summary. So our developer will be Angel Studios, who we have already covered. They had developed Test Drive Off-Road Wide Open, and I think that's the only game that they've developed in the launch titles. Next would be our publisher, which would be Infogrames, and they had a hand in quite a few games in the original Xbox's lifespan, including a couple of our launch titles, also having published NASCAR Heat for one game, at least, that is definitely notable as my favorite NASCAR game that I've ever played.
Yeah, mine too, man.
Absolutely.
Very fun shooting the balls out of the front.
Oh, man, the boulders or whatever? Yeah. Yeah, that was like a out-of-left-field mechanic that I absolutely love that they put in there. General features include single-player, multiplayer, 480p resolution, and Dolby 5.1 surround. It is rated T for teen for mild violence and strong lyrics. The genre is sports alternative surfing, released November 14th, 2001, on the GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox. It was not an exclusive and had no online features. The summary is Transworld Surf lets you pull off all the massive airs and blazing tail slides of professional surfers, including Taj Burrow, Andy Irons, and Shane Dorian. This is your chance to drop into more than 20 of the world's most challenging breaks in locations such as Todos Santos, Hossengor, and Tavarua. Conquer the waves with a friend, hitch a ride with the reef girls, watch out for the hungry sharks, and remember to save your best moves for the photographers who just may put you on the in-game cover of Transworld Surf.
Very nice.
Thank you, thank you.
All right. A surfing game in the vein of Tony Hawk, where you perform tricks to rack up points. With great-looking waves and top-notch sound, it can have a somewhat calming effect. You get to pick from 13 different real-life surfers, 9 different locations such as Pipeline Hawaii and Te Hupo Tahiti. Also includes a karma system, where if you act like a jerk, like stealing other surfers' waves or hitting people, bad things will happen. Bad things with dorsal fins. All right, do you want to start off with our developer, sir?
Angel Studios is an American video game developer and studio of Rockstar Games based in Carlsbad, California. Colombian entrepreneur Diego Angel founded the company as Angel Studios in January of 1984, after studying film in Chicago, where he grew fond of computer animation. The studio began with a focus on animation and visual effects for multimedia productions such as advertisements, films, and music videos. Notable productions include the film Lawnmower Man and the music video Peter Gabriel's song Kiss That Frog. Angel Studios began working in the video game industry in the early 90s, creating cutscenes for Echo, The Tides of Time in 1994 and Mr. Bones in 1996. The company developed full games with Nintendo, Major League Baseball, featuring Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Jr.'s Slugfest, as well as Microsoft Midtown Madness and Midtown Madness 2, and produced a port of Capcom's Resident Evil 2 for the Nintendo 64. Rockstar Games was impressed with the studio's work on Midtown Madness and offered a long-term partnership in 1999, which resulted in the creation of the video game series Midnight Club and Smuggler's Run. Angel Studios was acquired by Rockstar Games' parent company, Take-Two Interactive, in November of 2002 and became Rockstar San Diego, after which Angel left the studio in 2005 and returned to Columbia. Since 2004, Rockstar San Diego has operated as an internal game engine team that develops Rockstar Games' proprietary Rockstar Advanced Game Engine, which is used in most of the publisher's titles. The studio led the development of further Midnight Club games, Red Dead Revolver, Red Dead Redemption, and its expansion pack, Undead Nightmare. The studio collaborated with other Rockstar Games studios on Max Payne 3, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Red Dead Redemption 2. So they've done a lot of work, starting in the mid-80s, and worked their way up, like some of our developers, doing very impressive work and garnering pretty cool relationships with major companies that we know today, making the AAA titles that we all play.
Very interesting. All right.
What do you got for us, SoftMic?
All right, so our publisher is known as Infogrames, which today is known as Atari. So starting off, Infogrames was its own company that was known as Infogrames Entertainment SA. It is an American subsidiary and publishing arm of Atari. They were known as GT Interactive Software Corp. back in the day. And in 1999, when they were later renamed Infogrames Incorporated, And in May 2003, Infogrames Incorporated was finally known as Atari. On October 11th, 2008, Infogrames completed its acquisition of Atari, making it a wholly owned subsidiary. On January 21st, 2013, Atari filed for bankruptcy. President Jim Wilson was stating plans to split off from the parent Atari SA. Prior to its acquisition by Infogrames, GT Interactive was known for games such as Doom, Quake, Driver, and the first Unreal title, acquiring developers such as Reflections Interactive and Legend Entertainment. So in 1993, they founded GT Interactive. In 1994, they grew over 880% revenue growth.
Wow.
To a $101 million in its second year of existence, profits reaching $18 million. In 1995, an initial public offering was made to obtain publishing rights to games based off the Mercer Mayer property, which included Little Critter and Little Monster. GT Interactive also began setting up displays in Kmart's and Walmart's for low-cost software. 1996, a humongous entertainment acquisition was made, which are responsible for games such as the Putt-Putt franchise and Freddy Fish and Spy Fox series. 1997, GTI bought OneStop, which was a European value software publisher, for $800,000 in cash.
Oof.
They also signed a deal with MTV. It gave them rights to publish games based on the Beavis and Butthead series and Aeon Flux. 1998, Epic Games Unreal was published by GT Interactive. In the first 10 months, over 800,000 copies were sold. Coincidentally, Deer Hunter 2, also released in October, also sold 800,000 copies. In 1999, control by Infogrames was taken over, which has brought bad news for GT Interactive shareholders because they lost $90 million in the first quarter due to restructuring costs. Because of that, in February, in light of the bad results, CEO Ron Chamowitz was replaced.
Basically got fired.
Yeah, for doing so bad. I mean, you lose $90 million. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's stuff the employees probably talked about amongst each other about how bad it was. It even talks about here in June, GTI announced it had hired Bear Steams to look into the possibility of either a merger or sale in the company. In October, GT Interactive fired 35% of its workforce, which was 650 employees, mostly from the distribution section. In June, Reflections Driver was released, selling approximately 1 million copies. And then in July, GTI sold 10 Media for $5.2 million in cash just 6 months after it was purchased. November 16th, Infogrames Entertainment SA announced it would buy 70% of GT Interactive for $135 million and assume its $10.5 million in debt. This deal was completed December 17th, 1999. On May 10th, 2000, IESA announced the rebranding of GT Interactive to Infogrames Incorporated. And almost 3 years later, on May 8, 2003, the company would again change its name, this time to Atari Incorporated, which became Atar on the NASDAQ stock market. Following the bankruptcy of Atari, the GT Interactive brand and trademark was soon sold to Tomo Incorporated, which then later became BillionSoft.
That's very interesting.
So yeah, that's relatively how this company's gone. And it's still around today through Atari, because Atari is such a large name.
Right.
They're still around and still making games. That's all our info on our publisher and developer.
All righty then. I don't have anything else, so I think it's time for our first segment.
It's time for the X-Ray, where we dive into the main features and in-depth gameplay.
Okay, starting off our X-Ray, first getting into the game, you get greeted to your lovely openings. First, an animation of Angel Studios' symbol, and then a quick overview of the game's soundtrack featuring the album covers of the bands that lend their music to this game. Next, you'll be watching an FMV that pretty much goes over the surfers that are in the game, showing you clips of them actually surfing in real life, as well as small clips of in-game footage.
Probably made with Bing Video.
Oh man. Yeah, definitely in like 240p, maybe not even that. I can literally see the individual pixels. It's pretty lengthy.
Yeah, I remember being like 3.5 minutes long.
Oh yeah. It's It's kind of neat how they put it together, too. A lot of wipeouts and smiles. It's almost like the introduction to like an MTV show.
That's a good
one. I would honestly say it's not very badly put together at all. The editing was actually pretty good. It's enjoyable to watch. Anyway, getting into the main menu, you have a couple of options here. You have your Pro Tour, your single session, free serve, multiplayer, and options. Basically, the Pro Tour is made up of stages that have specific goals that you must complete in order to go down to the next level and unlock the next levels. Secondly, you would have your single session, which is a timed session, basically your practice. And then next would be your free serve, which is the same thing as single session, but without a timer. Gets you ready if you really want to practice. It's like two stages of practice, which is kind of unnecessary. But the single session, I guess you can view it as now you've got the timer and let's see what you can do. And then once you've become more accustomed to how the game works, you can then move on to the Pro Tour. So starting with free serve would be the best option to get a feel for the controls, learn how the game works, and understand how to build combos and ride waves. And then single session would be to put what you've learned to the test in a, forgiving environment where all you have is your timer, which would be the standard timer in the Pro Tour. And then lastly, the Pro Tour, where you'd be putting all your skills to the test that you had learned and seeing what you can pull off in that time frame. Multiplayer pretty much doesn't offer really anything. The instructions have an error in them. At the end here, it says they can knock other surfers off of the wave by colliding or spraying them. And then it's just a period. And then it goes on, if there is a time tie, comma.
What? That? Yeah. Confusing.
And then it just goes right into the next one, which is bold print free surf. Same as in single player mode. That's it. I mean, they could have just printed, you know, in an image of a middle finger underneath free surf. All right. So your multiplayer options go as King of the Wave, which the surfer who remains standing on the wave the longest wins. Each player must complete as many tricks as possible to get their trick meter maxed out. Once a surfer attains max trick meter, they can knock other surfers off of the wave by colliding or spraying them. If there is a time tie, comma. No idea what that means. They should have proofread this thing before they allowed it to be printed.
That's lazy right there.
Yeah, it's just like, we don't care about multiplayer. It's just there. And then free surf reads, same as in single player mode.
More
I can't get over that. Huh? Oh, yeah, pretty much. And then lastly, you have competition, which would be to compete for the most points by performing as many tricks as possible in a given time. I guess, those are the three modes that you have. And all not very fun.
Yeah, I would say it's very generic at best.
Yeah, this is not really a game you could just go like, hey, bro, you want to play this game with me? I just got it. And, you know, you two just jump on and have a great time busting out tricks and stuff. No, this is absolutely not the case.
Yeah, mind that you would have a hard time trying to even encourage the enthusiasm, trying to say, what's surf, dude?
Yeah, let's go play a surfing game when there's Halo.
let's go ride the barrel, bro.
Yeah, bro. Let's act some gnarly waves. That ain't happening. You do have an abundance of options to look through. In the options menu, you can adjust your audio, which would just basically be your generic stuff, your music volume, your sound effects volume, and then the announcer volume, as well as the ability to toggle the Dolby Surround on or off. You can also toggle the vibration to be on or off for each one of the four controllers. You have guides from... you have surfer guides, so basically tips, I guess, that appear on the screen. You can toggle those on or off. You also have movies, which would be for the level rewards, character rewards. You also have commercials for the sponsors, and then you have teasers for other video games. You can also watch your saved replays, manage your arcade data, and watch the game's credits. That's basically your menus. Getting into the main gameplay, I'll let you take it over, Soft Mike.
All right. So for main gameplay, when you jump right into this game, especially once you select the surfer you would like to surf as, you really have each individual surfer having their own career mode, just like it was in Tony Hawk. You select them based on whatever stats you prefer. There doesn't really seem to be much. I didn't really mess around too much with the other surfers, but so we have Rochelle Ballard, Sean Barron, Cash Burrow, Jason Collins, Tim Curran, Shane Dorian, Christian Fletcher, Andy Irons, Taylor Knox, Corey Lopez, Dan Malloy, Fred Potashia, and Chris Ward.
So 13 surfers to choose from. One female,
yeah,
and 12 males.
Each have their own special tricks that you can perform using a specific combo. It doesn't seem like there's really much difference between them all. But when you jump in the game, you're given the easiest place to surf at. It is a Australian beach with pretty much like the easiest waves you can ride. It's just like Tony Hawk, where you have a series of five different objectives or four different objectives, and you have to basically execute exactly what you said. And the hardest part about it is sometimes you have to understand what the lingo is or what kind of vocabulary or trick you have to do, because there was no tutorial. So knowing what to do was probably the hardest thing, because you can't really just treat this game like a Tony Hawk game, even though it is a copycat. To actually like successfully play this game, it's sort of a different. It's like almost as if Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was slightly slow. It doesn't seem to blend well. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. But when you try to execute tricks, it takes a lot to learn how to play the game. You'll probably spend a lot of time in the beginning looking at the environments, because the water looks pretty dang good. For an Xbox title, I would say that's probably one of the best looking water textures I've seen in a video game on the Xbox.
Definitely the water was the peak of this game.
Yeah, so basically the first location, one of the first goals you got to do is score 10,000 points. And pretty much that's what every continuous level after that you have to do. So you'll have pretty much one of those on every level, just doing it a little bit higher score than the last one. Then you have do a three-trick combo, which basically just as long as you do any three tricks, you'll get the objectives done. Carve three cutbacks on one wave, which is all you do is you just turn back toward the barrel three times. And the barrel is when the wave is crashing over. Literally, if you're inside, that's the barrel. So, and then one interesting kind of like unique objective is it's free eight dolphins from the tuna nets. So there'll be dolphins that are in these tuna nets, and you gotta find them and basically hit the net just to free them. But it's kind of hard to find all of them. They do all kind of line up in a row.
Yeah.
But you sort of have to just like get it right on the first time. Because I seem to notice that when you play for the first time on the level, it's when you get the best lineup.
That and the collision I found really sucks. When I attempted it, there was a couple times where I had the speed and I was right on target, but somehow my surfer went right through them and it didn't register that I had actually, you know, hit their hitbox or whatever. It was some kind of weird thing with the collision. Might have been due to my elevation on the wave, but I thought I had a good trajectory. I had hit them in the seemingly exact same spot on other ones, but yeah, it seems like the collision is a little bit funky in this game.
You're absolutely right. This game has a very odd engine, I think, for the type of game it is. I mean, it tries to be a game different than what it should be. It almost should have been slightly different, at least offered some tips on how to actually like play the game. I think it took way too long just to find out how to even surf properly.
Yes, and that's all thanks to the fact that the PlayStation 2 version had a tutorial that you could watch in the movies or something like that, but the original Xbox version did not.
Yeah, so that's like a flaw. That's a major flaw. They should have at least included that into the game.
Yeah. We actually had to go to a retro store like 45 minutes away and ask if we could have the manual from one of the boxes so we could even learn how to do the tricks.
Yeah, because the manual is almost impossible to find unless you want to see it in French.
You're right.
Or have to pay for it to see the actual manual in English or something. It's just way too much of a hassle. As you expect, though, the levels are kind of summed up in like two different time frames. That Australia level, once you beat the first midday, then you get a sunrise time frame.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The different time frames. That also has something to do with your objectives. Your objectives change per the time frame that you decide to surf on.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat.
It is, because I think the environments are probably one of the best looking for this game.
Yes.
Besides that, you can also find pictures in each of these levels. They're only available at certain like locations, which are part of the collectibles, I guess, for the game. But it does tell you that there are photographs to be collected when you end the level and you see the final synopsis of all the goals that you mm-hmm. need to find.
Another thing that's nice about this game is when you do pass an objective, it does clearly show you what one of the objectives in the level would be.
Oh, and you don't have to complete it multiple times. It's done.
Yes.
So like you come back later to that same level to try and just beat the one objective you couldn't beat.
Right.
And that's it. That's all you have to do to 100% of the game. It doesn't have objective difficulty at all. It's just more or less learning how to play the game is probably the hardest thing. Moving on from there, one of the coolest, I guess more of a copycat, is of course you have a heat, just like you do in Tony Hawk. You have to go through a series of heats where whoever has the highest score at the end of the competition will win a mass sum of money. Or I think it's like skill points or whatever. And those skill points are applied to your surfer's abilities. So your goal is to pretty much max out your surfer. Then you have Hoscore France, which we didn't really dive into these later ones. Tavaro, Fiji, San Francisco, Fort Point, G-Land, East Java, Southern California, Huntington Beach, Costa Rica, Witch's Rock, North Shore Hawaii Pipeline, Tahiti, Tahupo. And that's pretty much it as far as like the levels go. There are a lot of different waves and hazards in the game. And it's kind of funny, as you explained, Excalibur, how if you have this karma meter, and if you do things that are aggressive toward like other wildlife or surfers, your karma meter goes down. And if you get into a situation where your karma meter is in the bad or negative, you could experience such things as being eaten by a shark. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. The local wildlife will attack you. If your karma meter is low enough, the sharks will come out. And you do have the chance to be attacked by a shark. And it is actually pretty violent.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about the bubbling.
Oh, yeah. Like, you get dragged underneath the water when you wipe out and you're attacked by a shark. And your surfer is screaming at the top of his lungs underwater. And it sounds realistic. A pretty violent moment for a launch title, in my opinion. I mean, or let alone a surfing game, I should say.
So, yeah, I think that pretty much covers most of the gameplay. I mean, what do you think? Is there anything else you think I missed?
Getting down to it, really, there isn't much to cover. This game is pretty cut and dry. It
bare bones.
Just, yeah, it throws you in and just lets you have at it. Which there's good and bad to that. My experience playing the game, I jumped right in and I couldn't figure out the controls very well. It took quite a bit of time to understand like what buttons did what with experimentation. And what really threw me off was without the tutorial, there's only certain times that certain button presses actually do anything. And it's at certain moments on the wave. So when I was having issues triggering certain tricks, it was because I wasn't doing them on the right time or the right point of the wave to trigger those tricks to be attempted by the surfer. So once I was able to get the manual and understand through the manual's explanation of when to do specific tricks, which actually was very in depth, and they did a very good job of writing that out. I wish they would have done the same thing in the game itself, so you didn't have to refer to the manual because, you know, not everybody had it, and obviously we didn't. But getting into the manual and learning the tricks and where to do them on the waves really helped me a lot. I was actually able to accomplish the points that they required to complete certain goals in the levels that I thought at first was impossible. And you can pretty much cheat your way into the multipliers and earn points. It doesn't seem like it was programmed to nerf constantly performing the same trick, which was kind of disappointing to have the game so simplistic at its core. There was a lot of things that they did wrong, a lot of things that they did right. And overall, my gameplay experience was a little hampered by that. I really wish that there was a tutorial that started you out. Maybe like, you know, when you first got into the game, you didn't get the menu. You just got like a generic surfboarder, and you were shown how to actually perform tricks and ride waves. But that didn't happen. You were just thrown into the game and it was, here you go. So very, very much a missed opportunity there. And really, what I explained in the menu and what you've explained about the karma meter and such, there isn't too much more to talk about. I do want to add that for specific goals in the levels, you do have to perform tricks in front of cameramen who are stationed in specific spots of each level. And that'll give you like a photo, which is what you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
The cameraman will take a picture of you if you perform a trick in front of them, and you have to do it at a certain time, which is very difficult to accomplish when the waves are constantly moving. Another thing was the Reef Girls. Their dialogue is pretty creepy. You remember when I was playing or actually streaming this game a while back, and I was using the Reef Girls to move me from wave to wave whenever I wiped out or whatever?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you'd get on to one of the Reef Girls or call one of the Reef Girls over, and their voice line would be like, "You're cute," or like, "You're hot." Or they would say something like, "All right, I'll give you a ride this time, but only because you're cute," or something like that. And I'm just like, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah. They
for them just so, you know, to call out like that. I don't know. You know, that wouldn't fly in today's world. I was a little off put by that. And it was a little bit repetitive, too. There wasn't much diversity in the lines. So calling the Reef Girls over did get repetitive. And I ended up just blocking out what they were saying. And there was actually points where I would take the opportunity after I wiped out to just grab the next wave instead of calling the Reef Girl over, because the voice lines were kind of creepy and annoying at the same time. That's pretty much all I got for the gameplay. Like I said, pretty much cut and dry, and what you see is what you get. So if you got nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
So, all right. Time for our next segment.
Get ready for X Marks the Spot. The comprehensive look at game secrets and Easter eggs.
So, our X Marks the Spot. We have a pretty long list of cheat codes. And once again, they're Tony Hawk-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The first one we have is our master code, which unlocks everything in the game. This is accomplished by hitting the back button, up, up, down, down, left, left, right, right, up, left, down, right, up, up, and left. That will unlock the whole game's worth of benefits.
I think you forgot one of the ups and downs in that.
Did I?
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I felt like I read that pretty on target. Next is all goals completed for the level you're currently on. That is done by hitting the back button, up, left, left trigger, up, left, and left trigger. Alternate colors, I think, are for, I would assume you're bored.
I believe so.
Alternate colors is done by hitting back, up, down, left, right, down, left. Disco lights. This is done by hitting back, up, down, left, right, down, right.
Don't forget about up, up, down, down, left, right, B.
Yep. The next one is easy floating, done by hitting back, up, down, left, right, right, left. Then we have faster paddling, which during gameplay you must hold the right analog stick to use the faster paddling cheat. It's done by hitting back, up, down, left, right, down, down. To have a full special bar, press back, up, down, left, right, down, up. To fill your special bar, hit back, up, down, left, right, down, up. To get rid of your HUD for a more cinematic experience, hit back, up, down, left, right, up, right. For a green water effect, hit back, up, down, left, right, up, left. To make your surfboard invisible, hit back, up, down, left, right, left, down. To make your surfer invisible, hit back, up, down, left, right, left, up.
I feel like that one would just make the game more difficult than it already is.
Yeah, that would be very hard to like tell what you're doing.
Yeah.
For level select, hit back, down, right, left, left trigger, down, right, left, left trigger. For a magic surfboard, hit back, up, down, left, right, left, up. For perfect balance code, hit back, up, down, left, right, right, and left. For a purple haze effect, hit back, up, down, left, right, down, left. To surf on sharks, hit back, up, down, left, right, right, down. The only other code that we have is to deactivate all the cheats that you currently have enabled. Just hit the back button 4 times in a row.
Now, real quick, where do you enter these codes?
These are done by just playing the game.
So, like, in-game?
Put them in the menu or in-game, yeah.
Okay.
So, it just says while in-game, that's when you put the code in. So, menu or while you're playing. So, yeah, that besides the codes, the only other fun part about the game that adds a little bit of extra search and time would be the fact that each location that is in the game has what's called a secret spot. For the first area, which is the Queensland, Australia, the secret spot is found in the left corner by the rock wall in the sunrise only time frame. And your goal is to do a 45-second barrel on a difficult wave when you reach the secret spot. Next is Hosgore, France. The secret spot is found during morning time. It is next to the bunker farthest to the left on the map, and you have to do 4 5-second board slide floaters.
And this specific objective in your goal list unlocks the secret area for you to go and then find.
Yes. Tavarua, Fiji. The secret spot is found in the evening time at the northern part of the island by the buoys. The goal is to shoot the reef section on the hazardous wave. Fort Point, San Francisco, California. Secret spot is found in the sunset time in front of the second pillar for the bridge. Your goal is to do 5 3-trick combos on one wave.
Wow.
And the next one, G-Land, East Java, Indonesia. The secret spot is found at dusk time, right in the middle of the shore. Your goal is to shoot the rocks on the hazardous wave. And Huntington, Southern California. The secret spot is found in the nighttime. Far left, must paddle between 2 buoys, closer together than normal, and then straight to the girl. Though would be the reefer girl.
Right.
The goal is to surf a 100,000-point wave to the bitter end.
Whoa.
Yeah. That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Witch's Rock, Costa Rica. The secret spot is found at nighttime behind the rock. Your goal is to shoot the crocodile gauntlet of death. Pipeline, North Shore, Hawaii. The secret spot is found at sunset, right next to the only exposed reef in the level. And your goal is to do 2 9-trick combos on one wave. And the last one is Tihapu, Tahiti. The secret spot is found at sunrise, way back in the right corner. And your goal is to do a 20-second floater. So there you have it. That is all. I'd say let's move right into our next segment.
All right.
Oh my God, he on X Games mode.
Are you ready? Here is the X Games mode. Our personal tales of triumph, adrenaline-pumping gameplay, and sweat-inducing rampages.
All right, starting off our X Games mode. Who wants to go first?
Let's have you go first.
Okay. For me, X Games mode's pretty simple and pretty short. I would say the part of X Games mode that really got me was both the score that you had to acquire by the end of the time that you were given in the Pro Tour mode and the tricks, the special trick combos that you needed to perform as well. When it came to the 20,000 points, me being as rookie as I am, it was really a challenge to get more than 10,000 points before I was able to figure out how to use the controls appropriately via the manual. I basically had a really hard time of scoring more than 5,000 points. So for me, once I figured out how the game's mechanics worked by reading the manual and understanding when and where to execute tricks, it became easier, but it was still a challenge as much of a newbie as I am. And this game's difficulty curve is just so steep, but accomplishing the 20,000 points was something that I set out to do. And that would be your top goal in Hossigor and during midday. And then also ended up setting out to do the 6-trick combo. And that one was pretty difficult to attain. But first and foremost, the 20,000 points, that took basically my entire timer and a lot of fails and a lot of tries. I eventually got it on one wave. I was able to keep the points continuous. I almost wiped out once, actually. But thankfully, because the game's physics are a little glitchy, I didn't actually wipe out. I actually landed on top of the wave instead of falling off of it, which was kind of weird. I kind of like glitched or clipped through the top of the wave when I should have actually fallen off, and ended up maintaining my multiplier and my tricks. That's probably the most daunting challenge when you're starting from fresh and not knowing how this game works and not being a veteran, well as the trick combos. There are specific tricks that you need to perform, which one of them I couldn't even begin to even figure out, which was ollieing 4 bunker walls. But the combos were hard enough to task. I would say if you really get down and into this game, it can definitely bring that out in you, especially if you know you're trying to actually do these goals. I would say is all X Games mode. This game definitely can supply an X Games mode moment, and that really was that for me. The goals really do start to ramp up, and by a lot. You think 20,000 points is difficult coming into this game, and they just get more and more difficult, and the numbers just get higher and higher. It really got my heart pounding and got a little bit of sweat going in my palms, you know, running down to the end of the wire with the timer almost running out, and basically I'm one or two tricks away from either being able to pass the goal, or I'm going to have to do this all over again, or even the trick combos. The trick combos are pretty tedious and pretty difficult too, depending on what wave you choose as well. That's what I would have to say about as far as my X Games mode moment would go.
All right. For my X Games mode, this game in general has the difficulty curve is really the X Games mode here. I mean, it's the highlight. Learning how to actually perform tricks and executing them properly and learning what it takes to complete the objectives is not an easy task, not like it is in Tony Hawk. They look simple, but I think until you have basically mastered this game's fundamentals, it just feels like the game is fighting against you. Many times did you want to give up because of how many times you'd retry a level to beat a specific objective.
Totally, bro.
Yeah, and it was like you would be like convincing yourself just to either go to another track or just stop playing for the time being because the game just was that difficult.
And or like focus on a different goal.
Yeah, because that was pretty much all you could really do is just kind of like get frustrated and be like, I've had enough. I'm getting to the point where I want to throw something, you know?
Yeah, because if you choose to spend that entire heat doing one specific goal and you fail at that goal or acquiring it, you've wasted your entire heat.
Yeah, so it's really just not worth it at that point. I'd say another X Games moment would be riding any high point wave.
Oh, yeah.
Like a difficult wave, especially because the last level is the sunrise at Tahiti. The goals are score 100,000 points, do one 15-second barrel on one wave, which that doesn't seem like that'd be too hard.
Barrels are pretty easy to accomplish, honestly.
That's probably the easiest objective to do on that. Then you have to perform 3 special tricks on one wave. So all you'd have to do is just know what all the special tricks are for your specific surfer are and just do them all.
Yep.
And then the last one is to surf a 40,000 point difficult wave all the way. And what all the way means is you start out on that wave from the beginning. You have to literally jump on that wave right off the bat. And you will have to ride it from the beginning all the way till that wave dissipates.
Yep.
And if you're on it and you reach like the shore, you ended up wiping out, as you had pointed out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you surf all the way up to the shoreline, it's not like you just get turned back around. As soon as you hit the ground, you wipe out, and very violently.
Which is kind of funny considering the safety of land. But
right.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to is the game just has a extremely high difficulty range, which makes the game frustrating at times. It will get you your adrenaline pumping here and there, but it isn't always like that. This game is kind of very mild when it comes to actually having the, you know, you're hanging off your seat because you really kind of just know what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're more or less likely to get frustrated or mad by messing up than you are to actually successfully holding on to a multi-point combo. So that pretty much for me wraps up my X Games moment.
Okay. Sounds good to me. We are on to our last segment. Let's get X-rated, where we rank the game based on our evaluation of 10 core gaming elements. All right, so I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about this game. You usually give a better review than I do as far as score goes.
Yeah.
You tend to be a little bit more lenient than me.
I can be a little bit less biased because I think I try to always give a fair sort of recommendation to each type of game because you can't really rate it on every game, but at the same time, you sort of have to.
True.
That's why I feel like there's a lot of games that we had disagreements on, but you know what? That's what's part of the journey is learning what's best. Who wants to go first?
Well, I was just going to say you.
You want me to go first? Let's do it. All right.
Heck yeah.
All right. Trans World Surf. Game being reviewed. Graphics. I gave a 5.
Ooh.
I felt like the game's graphics were generic, polygon looking. The water was the best feature of the game in terms of graphics. Very pretty and realistic looking. Although yes, still presented times where it was very, you could predict kind of how the wave was going to mold itself. And it sort of had like stages to the how the wave would form. And it was mm-hmm. very programmy looking. Difficulty. Game got a 2.
Ooh, bingo.
Oh, we slam dunked that son of a gun. All right. Yeah, difficulty. This balance was way off. Way off.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily entirely bad, but it's pretty bad. I mean, this was a probably our worst game that we've played thus far in terms of difficulty balancing. There was just nothing showing you how to play this game. And the challenges brought to you by the gameplay was very unnerving. Single player, game of 3. This game did not have a very enjoyable single player experience. It was very bland and kind of uninteresting, to say the least. I mean, really, I don't even remember really a single surfer. That's how forgettable this game is. It's sort of just like, even though I chose a single surfer from the get-go, it's like you really can't describe how you would really enjoy this game. It just has a very bare minimum. I think the best part or most satisfying part would be moving on to the next level after completing all your objectives. And that's it. That's really all the satisfaction you get. It's just the fact that you finally beat the objectives you need to beat. So, multiplayer. I gave this game a 4. I felt like the multiplayer experience is generic in look, but because of the enjoyable experience you get while playing in multiplayer, I feel like it was slightly better than single player experience. Only in the fact that you were playing against your friends. Design guy also gave a 4.
Hey.
Matched on that? Sweet.
Nailed it.
So design, yeah, this game had a subpar design. Like I said, it's not that it's all, you know, really bad, but it's just not that great. They sort of just slapped a Tony Hawk skin into the game and then just retextured it. But then they were like, all right, we need to make it surfer related. But then they're like, okay, each of these levels got to have a objective system and all this stuff. And all this stuff's already like pretty much exactly like the better cousin title.
This game was like adding another layer to a wall that was already there.
Yeah, and when once you play Tony Hawk Pro Skater, playing this, you're going to just throw it in the trash. That's what it is. Controls, I gave this game a 6.
Yikes.
Yeah, a little high, but I felt like the controls did what they needed to do. Even though they weren't explained to you, once you did understand what they were, you started to grasp how they worked. And you sort of understood the purpose behind each button. And I think once you did that, that's probably the best shining part of this game was that the game had a control scheme similar to Tony Hawk, which is a bonus, but still unique to its surfboard lifestyle. Features, I gave a 3. I felt like this game was very limited in what it was trying to accomplish. It really only had a few levels.
Nailed it on features as well.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, you were really limited on your features when it comes to playing this game. It's sort of just like you got a career mode, time attack, a free roam mode, which you can pretty much do all the same thing that you're doing in the other ones, just a free roam mode. And multiplayer being what it is, it's just very basic. And really, you can only have so much fun in the multiplayer mode. It's sort of like you might be able to sit there for an hour with your friend playing a multiplayer, and then you're going to get bored, and you're going to play a different game. That's really what's going to happen. So, replayability, I gave a 1.
Hey!
we matched on that.
Nailed it.
Yeah, replayability is the most poor of the games we've played thus far. This game does not really bring back an excitable replay on any of its lengths of play, because when you sit down and start trying to tackle the difficulty and everything else in between, and you're on a time frame, it always seems like the time in real life is actually working against you. What you accomplished in the real world in 1 hour in this game, and you look at the clock and you've literally done one objective.
Yeah,
it really makes you go, maybe there's a lot better options out there, and you really just don't want to come back and play it. Soundtrack, I gave a 3. Ooh. And that's being probably beneficial to the game because there were some sort of new era artists that were sort of standout-ish, but for the most part, the soundtrack was garbage.
Pretty much.
Very repetitive. Nothing really stood out. You don't really know any of the songs, but it still stuck to the theme of surfing. And I feel like that's probably the only thing that benefited the soundtrack to the gameplay. Skill level, I gave a 5.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, a little high, probably. But I gave it a 5 for one reason. And that was because skill level is basically ranked on how much of a skill level you would need and how much of that is balanced toward the average player. So I feel like the average player would be able to play this game and be able to achieve mediocre results. But I feel like it would take a really long time to do so in mastering it. I feel like it would be triple the amount of time it takes to master this game than it does Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And that's unfortunately a really big downfall. It's just like, I remember when I first played Tony Hawk, the first level, I was aggravated about how much the objectives you'd have to figure out how to do a combo or figure out what objective you had to do. And it took me, I think, a couple hours before I started picking up the gist of things. Whereas this game, a couple hours, and you might have just learned how to do like a jump off a wave.
Or basically accomplished getting mad.
Yeah. If you haven't already turned the console off. So unfortunately, that's all I got to say, really. That's put it down. This final score ends up giving us a 36D.
Woo. It amazes me how close we wind up. Like, I think I could have picked a better partner to do this with, or somebody who I guess understands games on a level that I do. You pretty much consecutively nail it with your review for sure. And to further prove that, once again, in the rankings of an episode, I will go ahead with my ranking. My official review scores, I start off with graphics. I gave a 6, mainly because this game's water was actually pretty impressive. That was the only highlight in this game's appeal, was that. But it was strong enough to drag the score up from the rest of the things that dragged it down, just because of how incredible, to me, they made the water look for what they were working with. In my series covering the Xbox consoles, going off of that, just understanding what they were developing these games on prior to the Xbox's release. Like, the Xbox wasn't even finished. It wasn't a final product. It wasn't what we know as an Xbox is today, back when these games were being developed. So it was being developed on a janky, underpowered computer tower dubbed the Xbox Alpha One. And it wasn't even, you know, the console itself. So the fact that they were able to make this work and design this ahead of what the final hardware specs became, what we know today as the Xbox, was pretty impressive to me, just thinking back on that. And if anyone is listening that has followed my series, they would understand where I'm coming from on the debug kits, the original development kits. So I got to give a little bit of props on the graphics due to that standpoint, because that's probably the most impressive effect that I've seen yet in a launch title. So other than that, the surfers looked like trash, and the environments, honestly, to me, looked very bland and one-dimensional. They didn't really have much going on, and it drew the rest of it back. Difficulty, I gave a 2. Difficulty was overbearing. It was basically the equivalent of the old school father throwing the kids into the lake to learn how to swim treatment. You were given no guidance. You were given nothing to go off of. It was just straight, here you go, get out there, see you in a little bit. You know, I really didn't enjoy that. I don't like being just thrown out into the water, per se, pretty much how this game did it to you, literally, with no direction. I didn't know how to perform tricks. And on top of that, to complete certain tricks, you have to do it at certain times on the waves, like I had explained before. So without that knowledge and no tutorial to go off of in the original Xbox version, you know, you'd have to refer to the manual to understand how to execute tricks and understand the mechanics of the game. Having the inconvenience of having to read the manual and dig through the manual to even understand how to work the game, it was a really bad thing that they dropped the ball on, I would say. So it just made the game very difficult. And in order to accomplish the goals that are in the levels that allow you to progress, you need to know how to play the game. So it really just sets you up for failure. I could have gone lower, but it was still, with a little bit of experimentation with the controls, you were still able to learn some basic tricks. But you know, if you wanted to go more advanced, you would definitely have to get into the manual to know more. Single player experience, I give a 4. Single player experience was not very enjoyable. The only thing that kept it afloat was the goal system. It was a familiar thing because I had already played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which we've referenced that game a million times in this episode, but that's really the only thing we have to go off of, because this is basically a surfing ripoff of that series. So it helped me get past my frustrations a little bit that I had with the game already. Focusing on just accomplishing the goals was something that kept me going, and that was kind of a pleasant experience, although the points and the tricks were a little daunting. And once I had a manual in my hands and was able to understand how to do the tricks, I was able to get through it. And it did pick up the experience a little bit for me, but it really still didn't fulfill. After that, the game really offered you nothing else other than blocky surfers that really didn't bring much to the table. Going from there, multiplayer, I gave a 2. It was pretty much a very unenjoyable experience. It offered some equal competition, as I explained earlier, you and a friend would probably play this game and both be just as equally terrible at it and clueless to how it operates, or at least to some degree, even if you knew how, you could explain it to the other person and they could probably pick that up and then play competitively or semi-competitively with you. But the lack of modes was really where the downfall of multiplayer was. It felt more like it was just there. I mean, even in the manual, they didn't go very far to add any pizzazz or extra oomph to the multiplayer. It was just like, here you go. You know, even in the free roam or free surf mode, it just doesn't even waste any effort or time to explain it to you in any regard other than to say it's the same thing as single player. So, yeah, whatever. I really didn't care for how they treated it. It really felt, after reading the manual, like an afterthought. It was just like, okay, we've got a finished game. We're running out of time. Do we add multiplayer or do we skip multiplayer? You know, and it really wouldn't have made or broke this game, because this game, as you already heard from Soft Mike, sucked out the gate. So for me, it didn't really affect the game too much. But it was just brought down by the fact that it just seemed lazy and an afterthought. Design, I gave a 4. It had some good things going for it. The cheat codes that you could unlock were bountiful, and I enjoyed the fact that different surfers unlocked different cheat codes when they completed their goals, and that you also had different time frames that you could play each level on that presented a different set of goals. It wasn't rinse and repeat. It wasn't you could just play during a nighttime or the morning time or middle of the day and nothing changed in that regard. So I liked that little bit of diversity in the design. But beyond that, there really wasn't much else going for this game. Controls, I gave a 5. Very middle ground. I felt like they did just enough to play the game, and that was about it. They felt solid. They were responsive to a degree, aside from when the game itself got in the way of the controls, where you would clip through a wave or glitch in a certain way. The game seemed to sometimes trip over itself, and that was a little bit of a downfall. But overall, the controls pretty much just did the basics to be able to play it. Features, I gave a 3. Once again, this game offered you practically nothing. Two different practice modes with one different thing about them, and then a final mode that would allow you to unlock cheat codes and the levels of the game. That was it. You didn't unlock any secret surfers or any other quirky fun stuff. That was pretty much cut and dry. You had some afterthought multiplayer that really didn't offer much either, and that was that. Replayability. I also gave this game a 1. It could have gotten a 0. It almost did, actually, because this is a game that I would probably never play again. There might be a slight chance. I would say that, once again, the goal mode would probably be the only thing that would bring me back just to do for fun's sake. If I really was bored enough and was curious, I would probably just come back to this game and try and knock out a couple goals. Soundtrack. Soundtrack, I gave a 2. I was a little bit more harsh, mainly because they had some namely bands included in this game, such as Sum 41 and NoFX. There was a couple others as well. But once again, it's another game that had some pretty good bands in their soundtrack, but decided to choose trash tracks. Once again, in my opinion, dropping the ball. It may be due to the fact that certain tracks that are more popular cost more to license. It is what it is, and they did make their choice. A lot of other bands that were included in this game, the songs just seemed to be very thrashy and really didn't help other than fit the theme of, you know, the outlaw slash free spirit hype kind of music that goes along with the surfing atmosphere, the loose kind of feeling that it provided. It kind of drowned out, though, during gameplay. Most of the songs did sound alike and really didn't provide any extra element to what you were doing. The game really didn't benefit from the soundtrack, and it didn't not benefit from the soundtrack. It was just kind of neutral. And then lastly, the skill level. I gave this a 2. I was also very harsh on skill level, mainly because, going along with the difficulty, it's just very hard to get into and very inconvenient to learn how to play this game. at least on the original Xbox. Whereas it seemed, from what I understand or what I saw, PlayStation 2 apparently had a tutorial movie built into the game, where I was not able to find a tutorial movie that you could watch that showed you how to play this game and teach you how to play this game. So the skill level required to jump into this game and start accomplishing goals, it's pretty steep. I didn't appreciate that, and I didn't enjoy that. I found myself being more frustrated than anything while playing this game. So that really brought the experience down as well. Tallying all that together, my final score comes out to a 31, grade D.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the low end of the Ds.
Yeah, yeah. Barely made Ds. It's still better than Air Force Delta Storm, though. Somehow.
Well, how does it end up on your final rank?
And as far as my final ranking list, crazy enough, it is my new bottom spot in number 17, just below Air Force Delta Storm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I would actually find myself playing Air Force Delta Storm before I would play this one again, even though it scored higher.
Well, news for you. Transworld Surf for me also put my 17 spot.
That's great.
Yeah, this game was pretty
brash.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I gotta give it to them. You know, it was a valiant effort. They did try to do something revolutionary, and it did work. The waves were great. The mechanics of the waves worked pretty good, and they looked awesome. But that was really it. It was like the game was a showcase for water effects, you know, just a giant water effects demo.
Yeah.
That ripped off Tony Hawk.
Yep.
Right. I can't really see beyond that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening, and stay tuned for our next episode, which will feature
Madden 2002, NFL Fever 2002, and NHL Hits 2002.
Oh, yeah. Can't really lie and say that I'm excited to record these titles, but looking forward to, I guess, getting past them more than anything. For any sports fans out there, we will try to do our best to do these games justice, and we hope that you come back to listen to episode 17. As always, with every game we review, if you have any moments of your own that you would like to share, write us and let us know in the comments. Also, if we missed anything, we would love to hear from you as well. Remember, you make us great. We thank you for participating and listening. We appreciate your ears. Until next time, I'm Excalibur.
And I'm your co-host, Soft Mike.
And we will see you in the next one. Hello, loyal listeners. Excalibur here. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a supporter by going to our Patreon and pledging a couple bucks. Not only does this grant you exclusive access to early episodes and other content only available to supporters, but you also get to know you're making a difference by helping keep the lights on so that we can keep providing excellent content for you. Also consider joining the OG Xbox modding community on Facebook, where you can find anything you may need or want from the most trustworthy and quality-forward bunch of innovators keeping this amazing console alive to today. You can also become a part of the action by submitting a game for us to review via 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen. Also consider liking and sharing our social media. You can find us on Twitter via our Twitter handle, ThinkBoxPodcast, or on Facebook at Thinking Inside the Box. You can also write into us via email at thinkinginsidetheboxpodcast@outlook.com. Until the next time, thank you for listening, thank you for your patronage, and we will see you in the next one.